From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Here's a question for you. Could your clothes be making you sick? The new book, To Die For, How Toxic Fashion is Making Us Sick and How We Can Fight Back, by award-winning journalist, sustainable fashion expert, and the founder and editor-in-chief of EcoCult.com, Alden Wicker, well, reveals the true cost of toxic, largely unregulated chemicals found in so much clothing today. She dives into this issue in that new book, and we're lucky enough to have her on the program today. Alden, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Alden, take us back to 2019, before you even started this book, because you get a phone call from a radio producer who wants you to comment on a Delta Airlines lawsuit.
I had no idea what this radio producer was talking about. I should have. You know, I've been writing about sustainable fashion for over a decade, but it was complete news to me. And that just reflects the fact that there are very few people in the world who truly understand what's put on our clothing. Most people think that, you know, all that toxic pollution that you hear about stays over there. It's just a problem for people abroad where our clothing's manufactured. But in fact, it's staying on our clothing all the way to our closet. So the Delta airline attendants, along with three other major airlines, they received new, brand new uniforms with all these newfangled finishes on them. You know, they started getting really sick. I mean, very sick. They lost all their hair. They got rashes so bad that they bled. They were, in some cases, they were taken off planes and taken to the ER because they couldn't breathe. You know, they, some of them eventually developed autoimmune disorders after years of exposure. It was really harrowing stories.
So I know that a lot of the, so as we said, you get this phone call, you do research, you find out really more about what's going on with this case. But then, not surprisingly, a lot of these flight attendants who had these horrendous injuries, as you describe, were really reluctant to actually talk on the record. So what did you do to get them to speak with you? Because, you know, if not, we may not know much about this.
Yeah, and that's something that I told them. Some of them I couldn't get to talk with me because they were too traumatized by their experience. Mm-hmm. They lost their livelihood. They lost their home. Their husband left them. Their family didn't believe them. Their doctors didn't believe them. And they just couldn't talk to me about it. But the ones that did, they understood that if they didn't tell their story, you know, telling their story would help thousands of other airline attendants who are suffering, and also just normal people who, you know, have never made this link before. And so, you know, in some cases, I protected their identity because some of them are still trying to work as airline attendants because it's the only job they've ever had. They love this job. So others went on the record with me, and it was very brave of them to do so.
So what ultimately ended up happening in this case?
Well, three of the airlines that had this problem ended up swapping out the uniforms for different uniforms that were tested and supposed to be safer. Mm. One of the airlines, Southwest, has not yet swapped out the uniforms. In terms of the lawsuits, the first one from Alaska Airlines attendants was thrown out for lack of evidence. And unfortunately, that evidence did come through afterwards from a Harvard study that showed that a lot of their illnesses did double in the rate of how much they were showing up with these attendants after the uniforms were introduced. But it was too late for them. The American Airlines lawsuit is still ongoing. The Delta Airlines lawsuits don't look like they're going to move forward.
So let's talk about these chemicals that basically what these flight attendants allege is that there were chemicals in this in these uniforms, and it was making them horribly sick. As you said, some people, you know, ending up with autoimmune diseases. How in the world does this happen in the fashion industry that they use these kind of chemicals, even, I mean, not just on flight attendant uniforms, but as you talk about in your book, really fast fashion clothing, and we as consumers don't know about it?
Yeah. So these, I mean, there can be hundreds of chemicals that are used in the production of one garment. They are used to clean the fabric, to process the fabric. Other chemicals are used to strip those chemicals off. They're dyed, and then they are finished with performance enhancing finishes like anti-wrinkle, antifungal, flame retardant, stain resistant, water resistant, all of these different things. And then they're put on this clothing and they're sold to us. And what might be surprising for people to know is that the federal government does not regulate what can be put on clothing and sold to consumers, especially
Wow.
adult consumers. So the federal government in the United States only regulates three chemicals out of tens of thousands and only for children's products. So you could put something that has been banned for use and sale in the United States for decades on clothing, sell it to somebody, and you've done nothing illegal.
So the fashion industry is not exactly transparent. What then can the average person do? What can a consumer do to push for more transparency so that we know what is going on our clothing?
You're absolutely right. It's crazy to think about the fact that unlike beauty products and food products, fashion doesn't come with a complete ingredient list. If it did, it would be 50 ingredients long. We absolutely need more transparency. So an ingredient list that's actually comprehensive and honest would be a great start. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is dangerously underfunded and doesn't have the power to test and recall products, even when consumers report that its products are giving them chemical burns and other reactions. We should have bans on chemicals, on toxic chemicals in fashion products. The European Union bans more than 30 chemicals for use in textiles and fashion products, but we are not doing the same thing over here. So that would be a huge step in the right direction. And we need more funding for research.
So you mentioned the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And in your book, I mean, you detail that there have been numerous consumer complaints about clothing. You mentioned things like burns from shoes, from jeans, from stockings, right? And they are complaining to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. However, they have rarely had a recall of fashion due to this type of chemical toxicity. Why do you think that is? I mean, does it go down to what you just said, which is that they're underfunded? Because I mean, when it comes to any type of like, let's say, baby gear, right? We see recalls when we see children getting injured or even dying in some of these cases. Is it just that they kind of turn a blind eye to fashion?
We have this standard for chemical safety in this country that doesn't really make sense, which is if it doesn't kill you, it doesn't matter. So a lot of these chemicals, they might cause what some people would consider mild reactions, which, rashes and burns and everything. But a lot of them do their work over, small amounts that accumulate and can lead to, I mean, a lot of these chemicals are carcinogenic. They're reproductive toxic, but it's really hard to say that, okay, if I'm having trouble conceiving or I have cancer or I have an autoimmune disease, to trace it back to one product because we wear so many different things in a week. So it's really hard to prove. And with all that confusion and lack of knowledge, fashion brands can really get away with a lot.
So, about a decade ago, you created EcoCult.com. This is a very respected website, and you really do look at the big issues, but also the eco fashion industry. What was it that drew you to researching more about, fashion, but being eco-friendly in regards to it?
Well, before I founded Eco Cult, I was really into the food movement, right? So I read books like Food Inc. and Fast Food Nation, and they really changed my health for the better. And I thought, okay, well, if it matters where we get our food, it should probably matter where we get other things from. And so I started writing about all sorts of sustainable lifestyle topics. And long before it was cool, I mean, nobody wanted to hear or read about this stuff. But as you know, sustainable fashion has become really, really popular. And I think people
Oh,
are
yeah.
really eager for fact-checked, trustworthy, not fear-mongering information about how to shop sustainably and now how to buy non-toxic, healthful products.
So, what would you say are some of the best ways to try to buy like less toxic clothing? Because I'm just sitting here like going through my closet right in my head, and I'm like, well, I don't know, right? And I think, well, is it the stuff that's, am I better off buying the stuff that's much more expensive? Should I just not even ever look at fast fashion? I mean, what do you do when we don't have a playbook?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money in order to buy safe fashion. I mean, yes, avoid ultra fast fashion brands and knockoffs. If you've never heard of it until now and it's popping up in your social media feed and it seems too cheap to be true, that's probably a dangerous product and I would avoid it. But you know, there are mass market brands that do have their products tested and they do you know, they have labels like Bluesign or Okotex or GOTS. You can look at those. I mean, you can find Okotex certified sheets at your local Bed Bath and Beyond. And you can find these safe brands at your local mall. So shop with companies you trust who have a reputation that they care about. Go for natural materials whenever possible. You can find workout gear that's 95% cotton, which is great. And I think it's much more comfortable as well. Be wary of any performance fabrics or promises. So if it promises to be anti-wrinkle, anti-odor, stain resistant, water resistant, all of those different things, that's usually achieved with a chemical finish. And a secret between you and me, they don't actually work that well. They're just a way to get you to pay more for things.
I
So,
was just going to say that. I'm like, they don't work well at all.
no, they don't work well. I mean, I've never had a stain resistant thing that was completely free of
Please.
stains forever. I don't know. Yeah, it's just a marketing promise, and a toxic one at that.
So, best advice that you would give folks on how to really reduce their personal exposure to these harmful chemicals in their clothing. I mean, is it do I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, there are the safe brands out there, so find those brands.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of them that people might be surprised to hear about that are on the more affordable scale are H&M, Levi's, Nike. There's a bunch of them, and you can look, any brand that has a toxic chemical just management program, that's a great start. And also, wash new clothing before you wear it and make sure you wash it in unscented detergent. We have a lot of toxic detergents here in the United States, and it's really hard to get those chemicals off after you put them on. Dryer sheets, also avoid them. Avoid dry cleaning. You can often deodorize and spot clean your delicates with just a mixture of water and vinegar or water and vodka.
I'll tell you what, vinegar works wonders. Like it, I've learned that especially with clothing, especially with this workout gear, right? And you can't get smell out sometimes. Just dump vinegar in. I mean, I should have known this a long time ago, but it is something that I've learned over like the last year. It makes a phenomenal difference in cleaning, not just like, surfaces, but clothing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I splurged and bought myself a nice silk blouse and I immediately dropped coffee on it. And
Course.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to take this to the dry cleaner. And then you know what? I spot cleaned it with vinegar and water and it's as good as new.
See, exactly. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about this. I think it's such an interesting conversation. I do not know much about this. It is something that I think we probably all need to know more about. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.